How many of you were able to have a nice meal for lunch? Anybody get any ham, smoked ham? Anybody get any ham? Amen. Lots of hands. Amen. That's good. That's good. What about, I'm just going to name off some stuff I had. What about some cheesy potatoes? Anybody have any cheesy potatoes? Okay, yeah, there we go. All right, how many had some broccoli salad? Anybody have that? Okay, got a few hands around here. Strawberry salad. Anybody? Thomas, I see that hand. Thank you, son. He said that hand was high. Amen. And then for dessert, I don't know what y'all had, but boy, it was just right, just right. It was my mom's idea, so it was just right. And that was strawberry shortcake. Anybody have that for dessert? All right, Jemanski's. Amen. That's good. Well, I'm glad everybody was able to have a nice meal together and be able to enjoy some of that fellowship with family. It was precious to see families here this morning, and thank God for the blessing of family. Amen. And praise God what He's doing there. We will have some announcements here at the end of the service. I gotta want to meet with the teenagers and those that have volunteered to work with the teenagers after the service. We will be announcing the teams tonight for our youth revival conference, the competition that will be going on through the week. And now these are not to not be confused with the teams that will be for the dodgeball tournament. That's just going to be four-man teams, and that's sort of on them. You pick your own teams and when you register. This is two teams that will be competing within our youth group throughout the week. There'll be competitions and inviting visitors, and there'll be competition and certain things. We'll have certain themes on a few nights and different things. And of course, games. Friday night will be our big Friday night frenzy, we're calling it. We'll have all-you-can-eat pizza. We're going to have big ball volleyball and big ball basketball. Brother Mike Fisher will be coming, who you'll be meeting a week from today. He'll be with us next Sunday. And folks, I'm telling you, you'll fall in love with Brother Mike. He's a real, real encouragement, a real blessing. God's hand's on him. And the Lord's using him. Used him in my life at a very strategic point, if I can use that terminology, in my Christian life, because I had just been saved about a year, and I was coming into the local church that he was getting ready to transition out of to go to Bible college. So we just crossed paths enough to get to know him for about 6 months. And during that time, as a very young Christian, he just really, really helped me and encouraged me. And thank the Lord for that. So I'll be giving you more details on that. Also, before I get into the message, you can go ahead and turn if you want to, so you don't have to do that in a minute. That'll be John chapter 21. We'll be there this evening, John chapter 21. But before we do that, I just wanted to have a little family time and just be able to do that from time to time on a Sunday night. And just want to say a few things here. And one of the first things I just want to say is how thankful I am for each of you. I really appreciate all that you do here at this church and all the things that you help and you contribute. And you say, well, I don't really do much, Pastor. Well, you're here, and that's doing something. You're participating in worship. And you matter, and I am so grateful for the sweet spirit. I realize it's been busy. I do want you to know I'm taking notes for my calendar next year, and you know, realizing that I do want to make sure as a church that we do things according to where I get some feedback here. But should we just go to the pulpit, Mike, or are we okay? Do I need to step away from the pulpit? Maybe that'll be better. But I can come closer. All right. You got to watch those fellas back there. We're giving them some privacy back there now, so we need to get concerned, don't we, Mrs. Stone? Yep. Yeah, we'll watch them. And then Tyler's back there, and that's even more scary. So we're going to have to, we'll do it. We'll be all right. But where was I going? Tell me, somebody tell me where I left. What's that?
Calendar, yes, the calendar. We are. I don't want to do too much, but I just, these are the things that I really felt the Lord was leading us to do. I think it will slow down here in the next few months. Things won't be as close together. Now, folks will be. We'll have VBS coming up. And then, of course, the camps that folks will want to go to, and then this summer will be very busy too. So but next year we'll maybe tone it down a bit as the Lord leads. It's first year as a pastor. I'm learning those things. So you pray for me as I'm already thinking about next year, and pray the Lord give me wisdom. But I say all that to say this. You folks have been a big encouragement to me. You've just been on board. These things that we've had in the beginning with our theme week and our renewal theme and be renewed, and you've been encouraged by that, encouraged me by that. And then also, you know, with our couples retreat, that went so well. Had nearly 20 couples go to Augusta. You just got on board there. And then with our family conference in March, Brother Camp, we had great attendance, a great response, great decisions. I'm still seeing fruit of that in my own life. That was a life-changing week for me, I consider. Just being able to be reminded of those truths and at this stage in my life as a pastor and husband and father of young children, I just so desperately needed those messages. And I thank God for Brother Camp. And of course, now here in April, we had a big service today. You folks really got on board and have been praying for our four-year. You've been patient. With closing that off, I didn't hear any murmuring or complaining. And if you did, I didn't hear about it. But it just seemed to be, just on board and encouraged by those things. And they did a wonderful job with our four-year, did they not? Brother Brian Walker and his crew. And man, I just can't brag on them enough. I would come in here and check on them periodically, you know, throughout the week. And each crew that he had come in, they were just top of the line guys, just very respectful, lots of class. They were very diligent. And all of their work ethic, and Brother Dan agrees and vouches for the same thing. So we definitely will have them back, and as the Lord would lead us with different projects in the future, and do appreciate your patience with that. And so, and also just with the great crowd this morning, that was a perfect example to me that you folks are inviting your neighbors, your loved ones, your co-workers, and just continue to do that. And then I just have been encouraged in the area of our take it personally. That my friend is for a pastor to see the church that he's pastoring and to see the response that you guys have had. I want to say is a shot in the arm. It's a great boost to my encouragement, my morale as a pastor. But the things I'm hearing on when you come in to pass out those things, the feedback I'm getting, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I don't want us to get discouraged in the way. We're not out here, again, I've said before, we're not here to build an empire. And another thing, you know, we got to be careful of, and I want to tell you, I'm just going to be transparent with you. We're having family time here. Well, one thing that we all have to do, and especially your pastor has to be careful of, we're not in competition with anybody. We got to always remember that. We need to be thankful for any church that's preaching a pure gospel. I'm not going to be thankful for a church that does not preach a pure gospel. But I'm thankful for them, and I'm especially thankful for our sister churches in the area that we should pray for often and be thankful for them and pray for them especially. But it has been good. And we just want to keep going forward in resurrection power and seeing God change us and change others that we're reaching. And I know He is pleased with that. I truly do believe that. And so, in times like this, I just want to take a moment and say, Church, you're doing a great job. And I couldn't do anything, any of this, number one, without the Lord, but then I couldn't do any of it without you. And you often will pull me aside or tell me, now, Pastor, you make sure you get your day off, and now you're not doing this. And I appreciate that, by the way. I don't see that as an annoyance. I appreciate you checking up on me and holding me accountable. I need that, and I appreciate it. And I definitely want to just do what the Lord wants me to do. But I say all that to say this, if I could just wrap it up and just a phrase, it is this. I am so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful for you, each of you, from the little ones, from little Christopher, all the way up. Well, I'm not going to say all the way up to who, but you know what I mean. It's everybody, everybody. And so we'll just serve the Lord together. Amen. And appreciate what the Lord's doing. So if you want to turn your Bibles there again to John chapter 21. As we were preaching this morning on the resurrection and what that means for us and for the lost, I believe the Lord helped us this morning, and thankful for the liberty that He gave me. But that was a monumental day, of course, and morning for the disciples. And where we're going to be this morning, some time has passed. Since that morning, some things have taken place, and some things I'd like to bring out with the Lord's help. This evening that we need to consider. That a lot of times after we experience very emotional changes in our life, maybe a spiritual decision, whatever the case may be, a life change, and in many ways, how we can respond. And I see here some truths that I believe will be helpful to us. And that's there in John chapter 21. I'll begin reading. Here it says here, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise showed He Himself. All right, and he goes through and talks about the disciples that were there. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And then verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Let's pray together. Father, I do ask that You would be with us right now as we look to Your Word. And Lord, would You help us, strengthen us. Lord, even when we go through life experiences, that there's sometimes mountaintops, sometimes there are valleys. Lord, help us to maintain our focus, our consistency. Help us, Lord, not to get distracted, but to follow You, Lord God, and allow You to work in our lives. And so I pray that You take the passage tonight and use it in the hearts of Your people. And Father, for that, we'll give You the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see here that that a lot has happened. Wow. I mean, if you could paint a picture of an emotional week, brethren, this is one. The Passion Week. These disciples who have walked with the Lord Jesus for these 3 years and learned under Him and have been taught under Him. And then, of course, during that time, even to the very end, up until even this point, they were looking for the earthly kingdom to be set up, and that dream has been shattered. You know, I think all of us at one point, maybe some of these younger ones, maybe not know, but I would even say teenagers have experienced this, when really dreams don't work out the way you had envisioned. And that can affect you very much in your emotions. And that's what was, you can imagine some of the emotions that were going on here and what the Lord was doing and teaching them. But so you think the emotions there, and then think of the fact that they had even experienced seeing one of their own brothers betray the Lord Jesus Christ. That had to be devastating.
And that can play a great effect on the psyche, that's for sure. But not only that, but they experienced one that was probably the most bold and the most outspoken, just outright deny the Lord Jesus. That truly can affect the mind, and I'm sure it did here, the emotions. But not only that, you could say these different ones, but the truth is, all of them forsook the Lord Jesus. All of them fled at a time where they could have been there with Him. And just imagine the feelings that they were having, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But then on top of that, they got to experience seeing the resurrected Savior. And His appearance to them, and boy, I know that that was an encouragement. And but there was the way the Lord came. There were some startling appearances that He would come and then He would disappear. He would leave suddenly. And but that, it was no doubt there was an unmistakable proof that Jesus had risen, and that was confirmed in their hearts. And so that's where we come to. Excuse me, in this portion of Scripture. They are moving on to the next thing. They're moving on to the next thing. What do we do now? Our Lord is risen. He has come to us. We know in Matthew chapter 26, verse 32, and Mark chapter 16, verse 7, that the Lord Jesus gives specific command that I will meet you in Galilee. That's where I will appear to you. That's where I will come. And there was command, so they were obeying the next command, if you will. Now, some commentaries and some opinions, and some of you may be of this persuasion, and I'm not denying this, but some believe that Simon Peter was in sin here. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, that he was running from the Lord. If you think about it, what you see here is, yes, I guess he could have remained in Jerusalem for a little while longer and maybe witnessed to a few more people. I suppose they could have done that, but they decided they needed to go to some familiar territory. You ever been there where you got stress in your life and you've been through some really emotional experiences? Don't you just have a desire to go somewhere that's familiar? Somewhere where you're comfortable. Somewhere perhaps where you don't necessarily have someone giving you attention, which, by the way, if they would have been in Jerusalem, they would have been attention on these fellas. They were safe for a while under the care of the Lord Jesus and following Him. But boy, when the Lord Jesus, when they killed Him and they murdered Him, and they were going to come after these guys next. And you better believe that was not a desire for them to stick around and experience that. But they wanted to get somewhere familiar, and I can't blame them. And they went a-fishing, and you know, who knows? They may have been going for provisions for themselves, could have been possible. Whatever the case may have been here, I believe they were just doing the next thing. That reminds me of Ms. Eugenia, you'll remember. I remember getting an email from you and Brother Jim when I was in Niger, Africa, and we were going through some real trials and trying to discern what God was doing in our life. It was just very obvious, like the door was just getting more and more closed. And it was, we could see a crack, you know, and we were beginning to wonder, okay, Lord, what do we do now? We really don't know what to do. And I got an email from Jim and Eugenia, and just as a quote from Elizabeth Elliot, and just saying, just do the next thing. And that was such an encouragement. And by the way, you may be in a situation right now where you don't know what to do. And I would exhort you the same way. Just do the next thing that you know to do. God will take care of the rest. And that's what I believe is taking place here in such a way. Peter says, I'm going to fishing. And those fellows said, well, hey, if you're going fishing, we are too. You're not leaving us by ourselves. And so they decide that they will set out. Now, you'll see here, as they went forth, the Word of God says in verse 3, they entered into the ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. So we see here, first of all, there was a working while waiting. goes along with what I just said. Listen, I don't know what you're going through right now, but just keep working. Keep doing what you know to do and wait upon the Lord to show up in the specific way that you're praying. Okay? Just wait on Him. And that's what these disciples are going to do. And the Lord indeed is going to show up. But we see here, secondly, there is the need to trust while being tested. Look at the verse there in verse 3. It says, "And that night they caught nothing." Now, listen, I have never, and maybe you have, but I have never fished for a livelihood. I've never had to go fishing, depend on my next meal. In fact, my dad, I used to get tickled, and I do it now. But when we would go fishing, he would always say, "Well, son, when we go fishing," he'd say, "listen, don't worry about it. If we don't catch anything, we're going to stop by Bilo on the way home, okay? And we can get some fish out of the fish market, you know?" And it was true. We could. If we wanted some fish, we'd stop by the store on the way home and get some fish because it was for fun. But these fellas, it was not that case. They very well could have been fishing for their next meal. But, you know, one of the things that they were doing is they were toiling all night for fish. You can guarantee you they were trying their best to catch a fish, but they caught nothing. You feel like that tonight, maybe? You feel like you're not catching anything? You're trying. You got all your lines in the water. You're not getting a bite. And you can't figure out why. You're using all the different baits and all the different lures and... but you're just not getting anything. Well, these fellows were facing some of that. They were facing some of that. But I see that there's a need for trusting while being tested. And then we look, verse 4. But when the morning was now come. Oh, praise the Lord for those times in our life when we notice and realize morning has come. Amen. God is answering prayer, what we've been waiting on as we've been working, and God does give confirmation in those things, by the way. He will give you confirmation, and it says here, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." And listen to what happens here in verse 5. It says, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children," very interesting way of addressing them here, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered Him, "No." Very short answer. I saw one way that this was said, sort of paraphrased. It wasn't even a different version. It was paraphrased that it could be said like this in this verse. "Boys, y'all not catching anything, are you? Boys, you really don't have anything to eat, do you?" Jesus was confronting them in a time where they were facing failure. Can I tell you something, church, tonight to encourage you? I know you hear this. Well, this is going to be proof here. Jesus cares about your failures. He's concerned about when you're not getting any bites. He is watching. He was watching them. They didn't even realize it was Him, but He was watching them not succeed. And many times in our life, the Lord Jesus will deliberately and specifically stand upon the shores of our life and watch us not succeed. Because He's teaching us some things. He's bringing us to the knowledge of how dependent we need to be on Him. And that's exactly what's going to happen right here. So He's on the shore and He says, "Fellas, you're not catching anything, are you? You don't have any meat." And they were very honest. And can I say this? One of the areas that will help us most in our walk with the Lord is being willing to face our failure. A failure to face is what we need to do. And I want to tell you, as I said, He comes to us in our failures. And He comes to help. But I will say this. He is seeking to beat. Now I say that because it's true. Sometimes He has to do it. He is seeking to purge us of self-confidence.
It's very important for us to understand that, because we as human beings, we are tough. I can handle this. I can do this. Oh, I got it. You know, and it's interesting here that he is going to make them, bring them to a point where they do not have any self-confidence. And by the way, that's a good place to be. Don't ever look at that as a weakness when you don't have self-confidence, because you could take that the confidence, take it 100% and pour it into the Lord. My confidence is in the Lord. Everything I do, I depend upon the Lord Jesus, who gives me the strength to do it. And that's exactly what He's going to do. But listen to the response here in verse 6. When they said no, and they were honest, they were not succeeding. Look what happens here in verse 6. And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." Ye shall find. That's what He said here. And of course, we know that this is a very similar account. It's a different account, but a very similar account in Luke chapter 5. And there are some parallels there, but they are very much different points as well. But where He had addressed them and when they were out fishing. But in this instance, we see He says, "Cast onto the right side of the ship and ye shall find." Now, you'll remember that at this time, they haven't recognized Him as being Jesus. He's a stranger to them. But the language He used, they would look at Him more of as an elder because of the terminology He used. Children, boys. "You're not catching anything, are you?" And they were honest. "No." And so He shouts out. And this was not a common practice for these fellows to just take some sort of command from a stranger on the shore. But He said, "Cast on the right side." And the Word of God says they did it immediately. They cast their nets onto the right side. And you know what? That is a point I believe that we can learn from. Listen, you need to consider in our times of waiting and our times of not having any success, you need to make sure that perhaps there's something that you need to change. Something that you might need to change. In my life, if I'm going through a situation where I'm not seeing any success, and nothing seems to be working, perhaps there needs to be some change of heart in my life, a change of mind, okay? And that is very well what the Lord Jesus could do. Now, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is a matter of just waiting. But like in this situation, He said, "Take it over to the opposite side." And we see here in verse 6, "They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." Oh my. You know, look what the Lord has done here, folks. He didn't leave them alone, did He? He didn't lead them alone. He didn't leave them alone. He met them where they were, and He met them in this time in their life. And because they obeyed this voice, there was fullness. There was a fullness of the net and from following. And I tell you one thing, that's something we always need to be listening for, is the voice of God. You know, you got to always make sure it's not the old flesh voice or some other strange voice. You always got to make sure the voice lines up with the Word of God. But you do a study on when it talks about the voice of God in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. It's a very interesting study. But anyway, they listened to this stranger who they thought was a stranger at that time. But that's going to change quickly. Listen to verse 7. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked." And that does not mean, as we use it in our terms, he probably had his undergarments on. Again, like I explained the other day, when in this time it was uncommon to take out loose outer garments, to work harder, to work freely. And that was this case. Well, when he saw the Lord, he girt about the outer garment, the fisher's coat. It may have been a sign of reverence to the Lord. But what he did is he donned that thing. He got it on. He jumped right off the boat.
immediately. Now, we don't know exactly the depth of the water, but very likely it could have been waist deep, a little deeper, but enough for him to get out of that boat and to get to the Lord Jesus as quick as he could. He didn't wait for the boat to go. He got out immediately. And look at that term there. And that's sort of where we're going to come to a close here in just a moment. It says here, and did cast himself into the sea. And that's another point there, is that there needs to be, when the fish aren't biting, there's been a time of upheaval and emotions or whatever the case may be, there needs to be a casting of oneself completely. This brother did not just try to get out partially or try to just paddle harder in the boat. He didn't tell one of the other fellows, hey, go, it's Jesus, get out there and grab the rope and pull us in, whatever you got to do. No, Peter cast himself. The Word of God says he cast himself. And I just want to exhort you this evening that is a priority in our lives, to cast ourselves completely at the mercy of Jesus Christ, at His leading, at His presence, to do whatever He wants to do with us. Lord, I'm putting it all out there for You. And I believe that's what Peter was saying in his emotions. He was very impulsive. I can relate to him in that manner. I can be that way. But he just said, hey, I'm out of here, guys. That's the Lord Jesus on that shore, and He's the one I need. And you know, that's where the Lord wants to bring us. He wants to bring us to the point where He is all we need. And I ask you tonight, are you in that place, dear friend? Let's be honest. All else fails all around you. Is Jesus enough? Is He enough for you? I hope He is. I hope He is. And I pray that in my own heart that, Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll be enough. And I believe that He was willing to cast Himself completely out there. You know, after faith we see here, after a faith of just casting out to the right side of the boat, as the stranger would say, after faith has discerned His presence and obedience, we see there was a bowing to His command, a trusting just to go out and do what He's telling us to do. Well, I know it sometimes in situations like this, what these disciples, we can be hard on them. Oh, now listen. You should have been there witnessing to people. You shouldn't have gone to Galilee in this context. You shouldn't have been fishing. We could go down and be as critical as all get out. But honestly, let's just put ourselves in their shoes, church. Let's put ourselves in their shoes. And ask ourselves, you know what? What would we do? What would we do? Would we be looking for some peace and quiet? Would we be looking for an out just to get our mind off things? Man, what we've seen, how we saw Jesus Christ treated. Oh my. What we saw this week, Judas totally betrayed. Man, Peter lied. Oh man, we all ran away from the Lord. Man, but the Lord is risen. Hallelujah. He came back. He's appeared to us. He's overcome. He overcame death. And He's appeared to us a couple times. And now He's not here. And so what do? We got to do the next thing. And that's what they did here. And the Lord showed up. And I don't have time tonight. We can go on another message to talk about the lesson that He would go on to teach Peter here about loving Him and loving the sheep. We'll see a great lesson there. But let's just picture ourselves in this situation. And I ask you and leave you with this thought tonight, brethren. Are you working while waiting? Are you trusting while being tested? Are you willing to admit your failure? Because Jesus will come to you in your failure. Are you considering change in your own heart, in your own perspective? Are you letting the Lord truly purge you of your self-confidence to a place where you'll be completely dependent on Him. That is what the Lord is seeking to do. The Lord Jesus is interested in our toiling. He does not ever depart us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always watching us. He's always interested in what we're doing. And He's teaching us. And He always comes in at the very right moment. He just shows up. And that's something that I'm asking you tonight. I'm asking myself, let's trust Him to do that. You know, I'm speaking of trials here. But we can make application across the board here. What about our ministry? What about our work here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church? We're toiling. Who knows after what we'll see after we get out our 40,000 door hangers. I'm praying that God would give fruit into our labor. But listen, we are not to depend on that. Jesus is enough. He is enough. We will be obedient to the will of God. We will do the next thing. We will be obedient to what He's told us to do, and we will trust Him to do the rest. We won't get weary. We'll work while waiting for God to do what He's going to do. And I'm trusting God to do that same thing this coming week and the next week, especially in the life of our teenagers. I'll say this with our teenagers in here, because I believe this with all my heart. I believe this will be a life-changing week for our youth group coming up. Our youth revival. And parents, especially of our teenagers, I would encourage you to try to be here at least one of those nights that week. Because I want to tell you, God's going to use it. God's going to use it to teach our teens some lessons, just like He teaches us. And just like He was teaching these disciples. I believe that our teenagers need to learn, and so do we. They need to learn to be totally dependent on Jesus Christ. And to realize in life that Jesus is enough. I don't have to have the approval of my peers. I don't have to be set up on a pedestal to be the popular one. I don't have to have all the money in the world to be joyful. Listen, I believe that God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is seeking to teach our church and our young people that Jesus is enough. And that's something we can rejoice in. That's where Paul said, "Oh, that I might know Him. Oh, in the fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection." Oh, how I pray that God would help us. I'm so thankful that He's interested in helping me and helping you. He knows where you're at. He knows you're toiling. He knows you're waiting. You let Him show up, but you keep doing the next thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for how You've blessed us. Lord, I think about the lessons that are learned in the times of waiting, in the times of toiling, in the times of working. Oh God, in the lessons learned in the times of failure. But Lord, oh the joy to know that You're there. To meet us where we fail. To show us that we can be dependent on You. And that You can give us the right direction. Exactly what we need. Oh Lord, thank You for how good You are. Lord Jesus, would You draw us closer to Yourself even tonight. Almighty God, and we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.